Go to the book of Acts, if you would, tonight. Let's get going into God's Word. And, you know, this morning we started talking about the different forms of godliness that people have, but then they don't have the power. And we were talking about how terrible it is to be in a church where the Bible is in the church, and we believe in all that the Bible says. But to not experience that would have to be categorized as one of the worst tragedies that can happen to a person. To actually have the answers to everything we need right before us and not be able to access those answers. That would be so sad. And because I've been, you know, traveling a lot through the years and ministering and doing all that, I realize that a lot of people in church are still not free. They're still not happy. They're still not fully delivered and fully standing on the solidness of God. And so we went through the different forms, all the different forms, around 12 different forms of godliness that are not the power of godliness. And so we're going to kind of continue down that road tonight. Tomorrow night, we're going to do a different message, the 7 ways that you know God loves you. And they're not normal things. You haven't heard a lot of this. But once I talk to you about it, it'll all make sense. But Acts 2 and verse 39, that day about 3,000 took him at his word, were baptized, and were signed up. They committed themselves to the teaching of the apostles, the life together, the common meal, and the prayers. Everyone around was in awe. All those miracles, signs, and wonders done through the apostles. And all the believers lived in a wonderful harmony. Everybody say that, in a wonderful harmony. How many of you know that it takes power to live in harmony with certain people? Right? I mean, it takes the power of God to live in harmony with certain people. You know, it says something about Saul. One of Saul's problems was that he had demons, and he was oppressed by evil spirits. And it says that those evil spirits would come on him, and it would take him into a mood, a very bad, nasty, ugly mood. And the only thing that would relieve him of that was when David would begin to play on his guitar and sing praise and worship songs to God, and then the spirits would lift, because demons hate true praise and worship. Demons don't mind anybody singing from the head. There's no anointing. But they really mind people when they sing from the heart, because God enthrones himself upon those kind of praises. And the devil hates to be anywhere that the true believers are singing from a true, sincere heart. Phew. Man, they're going to take off. But we know then that anything done from the head is simply religious. Anything done from the heart is then true relational experience with God in church or anywhere else. Anything you do from the head and leave out the heart is going to turn into an ugly religious ritual, even if it's speaking in tongues. Because people can't imagine how could speaking in tongues be religious. But ladies and gentlemen, it's one of the most religious things that I have ever heard sometimes in my life. Some of the most religious people speak in tongues. And when they speak in tongues, it sounds like they're cussing or like they're asleep. But when you pray with the heart, everything is electrified. Everything comes to life. God comes to life. The Bible comes to life. Prayer comes to life. Relationships with people come to life. You know, dealing with situations, everything comes to life as long as we don't leave the heart out of it. Once we replace the heart with the soul, the mind, the will, or the emotions, and those three things dominate what we do, then we start having problems, because then we're driven by our soul, we're driven by willpower, which all leads into manipulation and control and dominance and intimidation and all those ugly things. You know, if it's driven by emotions, it gets very manipulative, emotionally manipulative, a lot of blackmail, a lot of guilt trips, a lot of, you know, self-pity, a lot of offense, a lot of hurt, a lot of that. All in the soul, right in that soul, mind. If it just comes from the mind, then it's all just up there in the head, and it never reaches the way we behave. How many of you believe that God wants us to believe right, but he also wants us to behave right? Right? Because you can believe whatever you'd like. It's personal. Keep it in your head. Holla, holla. But it doesn't affect me until you behave a certain way. Then what you believe either is translated into how you live, because really, the only things we believe anyway are the things we practice. That's really our religion, is our behavior. And that's where a lot of people don't understand. The world doesn't care what you think. The world cares what you do. Praise God. And, you know, the world is not God. They're realists. God is different. He can have mercy on you and forgive you because he knows your past, present, and future. He's got it figured out. You and I don't have it figured out. All I can do is look at you and decide, that's a dangerous person. I think I'll probably not hang out with them. They could kill me. God, however, is looking at the future. He's looking at the past. He's looking at the present. He's looking at his wonder work and power. And until we can see everybody like that, we still need to kind of behave. Just an idea that I throw out there. Praise the Lord. So let's keep going. It says, believers lived in a wonderful harmony, holding everything in common. They sold whatever they owned and pooled their resources so that each person's need was met. They followed a daily discipline of worship in the temple, followed by meals at home. Every meal a celebration, exuberant and joyful. As they praised God, people in general liked what they saw. Every day their number grew as God added those who should be saved. Could you lift your hands up right now? And let's just believe God that this is the smallest the church will ever be from now on. Everybody lift your hands. Says that this is the smallest. From now on, we're growing. From now on, it's going to keep growing. From now on, we're going to keep increasing. And we're going to keep multiplying based on what we just read. Every day, their number grew. Everybody say that. Every day, our number will grow. Say it again. Every day, our number will grow. As God added those who were being saved. Praise God. I think that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Okay, now Colossians 1, verse 1, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Now I want you to look at this for 1 second. Power. Look at this kind of power. How many of you ever have ever needed this kind of power? Strengthen with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering. What? With joyfulness. Now, it's one thing to claim you're patient, because sometimes all we are is indifferent. But here, all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. How many of you have ever had an experience where you had to be patient and you were joyful about it? Not very many people. Not very many people. Most of us are not joyful when we're being patient. We freak out completely. We're like inside, we're just gritting our teeth and holding everything and just, oh my gosh, oh my God. Because it's a whole different kind of patience. It's a whole different kind of thing when it's anointed with the power of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. So, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. And these are basically some of the fruits of having power in your life instead of just the forms. Is number one, you actually are partake of your inheritance. How many of you think you have a great inheritance? How many of you believe that God has designated for your life a great inheritance? Not just a little kind of inheritance, but a really great one. Praise God. And how many of you would be honest enough to just say, I'm not sure I'm in that yet? How many of you would say, I don't think I'm in that yet, or I'm not sure I'm in that yet, right? Because until what you're living is bigger than what you can achieve, it's still human. When what you live becomes bigger than what you can achieve, then it is divine. Because now God gets the glory and the credit, you don't. Now you know your life has gone from what you can achieve to only what God can achieve through you. Praise God. When a man looks at your life and they say, man, how are you doing what you're doing? That doesn't even seem human. Then you can give God all the praise and all the glory and say, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. I walked in tonight and they told me a couple of things, a couple of miracles from last time we were here last year, you know, the gal over here with the baby. And, you know, she couldn't have children right here. And now she has her baby right there in her arms last year. Praise the Lord. Isn't that great? That's a blessing. 28 this year already. 28 miracles of babies so far. Praise God. All the glory goes to God. Nobody even tries to claim that. God gets all the glory. But thank God that he can do it. Praise the Lord. We prayed with this gal here last time we were here. Said your husband's going to be in jail. There he is right there. Praise God. So somebody just say something and give God a little praise and a little something, a little hallelujah, la 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 la, walla walla. Praise God. God is good. So giving thanks to the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So every one of you, because of God's power, are going to have an inheritance that does not look natural. It's going to look supernatural. Praise God. Wouldn't you believe that if the church tripled in size with black folks and Hispanic folks and more white folks and Chinese folks and Japanese folks and any kind of folk you can find, wherever you can find them, because of the multicultural and multinational anointing that God is going to start bringing into the church? It's just going to happen. Praise God, and it's going to be so awesome. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness. How many of you have ever had any problem with darkness of any kind in your life? How many have had warfare, battles, crazy stuff happen? Have you ever had like bad dreams, and you were in there going, what's going on, my God? Praise the Lord, that was weird, man, that was crazy. Man, man. That's not normal. We're actually not supposed to have bad dreams. We're supposed to have anointed dreams. Praise God. There's a power that delivers people from darkness. I think that's pretty cool. Give somebody a high five right now and say, you know, there's not going to be any darkness in your life. Tell that to somebody. Touch them when you tell them. Say, look, no darkness in your life. Come on, say no devils in your life, no darkness in your life, no evil in your life, because you have been delivered from the power of darkness. There is a power of darkness. There's a prince of darkness, but we have been delivered from him. We have been delivered from his authority. But is it still possible for us that are believers to still be entangled, entrapped, and enslaved by that darkness, even though we're believers? Of course it is. Otherwise, you would never need prayer. You would never need help. But is that necessary? It's not necessary. It doesn't have to happen. But it happens for many different reasons. A lot of times, we don't know who we are in God. We don't know what we have in God. And then we don't know how to use what we have in God. Just those simple three things can bring us into tremendous darkness and bondage, just like the Bible says, because of ignorance. My people are destroyed. Praise God. When I was growing up, ladies and gentlemen, and I was around a lot of demonic activity, and my grandmother was really involved in demonic activity, it was exciting for me. I loved my childhood. It was bizarre. Things would move and strange things would happen. Man, I thought it was just like a movie or something. It was exciting. All kinds of incense and weird kind of stuff was going on. And as a kid growing up, I just thought it was all fun. But then they started to demand that I pay taxes with my soul in the form of fear and torture. and bondage. And when I came to Jesus as a very bound up man, young man, very bound up, very enslaved. I didn't know you could actually be free. How many people right here in York have that in their life? How many Christians that sit in this church right here secretly have terrible, terrible pains, tortures, torments, and demonic things in their life that they won't tell because of the expectation that they have and the image they have to maintain of being something that they're not? Wouldn't it be better to just tell somebody, you know, I got all kinds of hassle going on, and rather than keep it for another 10 or 20 years, I'm just going to ask for help. Praise the Lord. Wouldn't that be a lot better? Because it takes power to be humble. You just can't be humble naturally. It takes power to be humble. But the Holy Spirit sets us free from darkness and all of our children and all of our friends. Praise God. We are supposed to be free. We are not supposed to have darkness. You're not supposed to have bad dreams. You're not supposed to have fear and nightmares. You're not supposed to have anxiety attacks. You're not supposed to need medication to make it through the night. That may happen, but it is not the will of God. And God, through His power, can stop it. Praise the Lord. Come on. Come on. Come on. Tell me something. Say, God's going to stop it. Because it says He delivered them out of the darkness. What a great place to come to church where, number one, you get your inheritance, and number two, you're delivered from darkness. Praise the Lord. People do crazy things who are saved because they haven't been delivered from the darkness. Diabolical things. Crazy stuff. I mean, I could tell you story after 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 story. A pastor friend of mine that I preached for got caught because he was selling drugs. A spirit-filled preacher in a church just like this. He was selling drugs. I said, why are you doing it? Why did you do it? He said, I got in debt. I needed to get out. I said, you can't sell. I didn't abandon him. I didn't quit on him. I didn't walk out on him. I didn't say I ain't never going to talk to you. I'm still his friend today. I'll always be his friend. I'm not that kind of a friend. It don't matter what you do. I'm going to be your friend if you're my friend, because that's the way Jesus is to me, and that's the way He is to everybody. Praise the Lord. I didn't forsake Him. I've never forsaken anybody that's done anything crazy unless they try to hurt my family. Then God told me to do it. Because you can't allow dangerous people in your family. That's stupid. And of course, he's totally restored now. And, you know, I mean, his church will never be what it was. It's very small, and people don't trust him forever, probably. But it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, hey. Praise God. Darkness. Think about how many things in your life are touched by the finger of darkness. Think about how many things in your life have a shadow on them. How many things in your life have that non-joyful thing. But we're called to joy. We're called to joy. We're called to have joy. We're called to be happy. We're called to go to bed in peace. We're called to wake up in joy. We're called to live all day long in the love of God. Praise God. Every one of you should sleep in peace. No fear and no worry. Every one of you should wake up with the joy of the Lord. Everybody should walk in love all day long. That's the fruit of having the darkness broken over our lives. Now, this is something that I don't want to compromise about, ladies and gentlemen. I don't want to compromise about this. I don't want to preach and just let it slide. I want people to get set free. Glory to God. Jesus said we could do it. Jesus said you'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. He said you will cast devils out of people. Praise the Lord. Now, I don't examine people and say, are you born again? Are you not born again? Are you a Christian? Are you not a Christian? I just let the demon determine. If there's a demon, it'll show up. If it's not a demon, it won't show up. So what? It takes care of itself. The doctrine is not doesn't come into, you know, I'm sorry, you shouldn't be acting like that because you say you're this and this and that, but you're freaking out, going crazy, and losing your mind. Let's see if we can get you set free. Pam, and they get set free for the rest of their lives. What are you going to say to that? An eyewitness is the most powerful miracle you can ever have for yourself. Because once you've been marked by being an eyewitness, nobody can talk you out of anything. I wouldn't even believe in miracles today unless God had shown me one when I was 17 years old. He did it on purpose. Otherwise, today I could have been some other kind of preacher, some crazy lunatic without reason. Right? Would you hug somebody and just shake them up a little bit and say, something's got to change? Come on. Say that to somebody. Say, something's got to change. Something's got to change. Praise the Lord. Delivered from the power of darkness, and look, has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. How many of you have in your heart a desire to no longer be bored with your walk with God? Can I see your hands? Almost every single person in this building. What do you think it's going to take to get you to live a life that is dangerous in the right way for God? Because what you're looking for is out there on the water. It's where the waves are and where there's no solid footing. It's where your solid footing is created by faith. You literally are standing on solid footing, but it isn't supposed to be. God just made it that way to honor you stepping out of your boat. Right? So, for some of you, it's going to be something like talking to strangers, inviting people over for tea, your neighbors, and being friends with them, and eventually getting them all saved. Others of you, you're just going to walk up to strangers and start talking to them about Jesus. They're going to get saved. For others of you, it's just going to be being nice. That will be the big miracle for you. Not being shy. You know, not being selfish. You know the power that it takes to not be selfish? The absolute power that it takes to not think about yourself first, to not have a how does this profit me mentality, how does this profit them? You know the power that it takes to pray every day, whether you feel God's presence or not? Praise the Lord. Now, I've never not felt God's presence, honestly, when I prayed. Only when I felt bad, my feelings overtook that, but I still had a deep sense of God's presence, but not the same where I could actually tangibly feel it. But other than that, I've never had that feeling. And the Lord told me one day these words. He said, a clear conscience is your best pillow. Do you know the power that it takes to just have a clear conscience? Do you know what kind of honesty a person has to walk in to just have a clear conscience? What it would take to just clear your conscience? I don't mean clear your mind and tell people what you think. I didn't say that. I said clear your conscience. Clean your conscience. Make peace with your conscience. And then peace flows through that river freely because there's a clear conscience. Praise God. Right? Because it's one thing to say to a person, oh, I love you. Holla, holla. And then walk away and think these crazy thoughts about them. That's not right. It takes power for the Holy Ghost to move, like he's going to move in a little bit. Praise the Lord. Would you give somebody a high five and say, looks like you colored up your hair again. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Hebrews 1. We're talking about not being religious people. We're talking about not having a form of godliness. We're talking about walking in the power of God. I've preached in some of the most religious churches in the world. And I asked the Lord one time, I said, Lord, why do you send me to these places? He said, because I've trained you for these kinds of people. He said, you're going to get them out of the casket, out of the grave, and get them all baptized in the Holy Ghost. Before they know what hit them, they're already going to be too blessed to turn back. And so, consequently, I've been in Baptist churches, Catholic churches, Lutheran churches, Presbyterian churches, Brethren churches, Methodist churches, Wesleyan churches, Episcopal churches, almost any denomination you can name that is still considered Christian. God's got me in there. And if you get in those kind of churches, like in England, it's a whole nother level of frozen. I mean, it's the frozen section beyond the frozen section. You know how in your refrigerator you can have like levels? The first level keeps it cool. The second level keeps it a little colder. But that high level freezes it completely like a rock. That's what I'm talking about. And it takes a lot. You know the power it takes to get somebody out of that? I was in a church in England, a Baptist church, and I had been invited to preach in 13 churches in 13 days, but the pastor never bothered to tell me they weren't spirit-filled churches like his. He set it up. He said, let me set up your schedule. I'll set it up for you. I have a lot of friends, and I'll just do it. I said, absolutely, do it. Well, how many? He said, how about 13 services in a row? I said, that'll be great. 13 different churches? No problem. I said, okay. He didn't tell me nothing. I just show up. I go to the first church, and I'm standing there, and I immediately got a feeling. I said, this doesn't seem like the same kind of church. About 300 people. Pastor says, hey, yeah, I'm a friend of Bishop so-and-so or Pastor so-and-so. He invited. He said, you're going to really bless the church and all that. I said, what's the name of the church? He, you know, whatever, Baptist, something Baptist. I said, like Spirit-filled Baptist? I said it real gently, like Spirit-filled Baptist. No. No, nobody here speaks in tongues. No, none of them. Do you? He said, yeah, I'm the only one. What? And there's an elderly couple, about 90 years old, sitting there. I said, who are those folks? He said, what are the mega charter people who have been there like for 100 years? Whatever they are. They were them. Their father and mother sat there. Their great-grandfather sat there. Their great-great-great-grandfather and grandmother sat there. That was like holy chairs right there. Praise the Lord. Look at the folks moved here. Praise the Lord. How are you all? Nice to meet you tonight. We have new visitors here today, everybody. Praise the Lord. They're sitting in different places. I appreciate that. But so I said to the Lord, what am I going to do? I need a word of knowledge or something. I mean, these folks aren't going to receive from me. They already know. I said, did you tell them what I am or what I do or how I do things? I said, yeah, you told them I was like a Pentecostal or something? Yeah, I told them you were like a tongue-speaking. I'm thinking, my gosh, I need to forgive this guy. And so I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. And he told me. He said, get a chair and sit on the chair and sing your sermon with a guitar. I looked up and said, Lord, I got a chair. I got the thing. I sat down. I started singing the sermon. Slowly and gently, without running over anybody or dominating anybody or intimidating anybody. Just softly and gently, I just started to sing. I said, go ahead and turn over to 1 Corinthians. And when I'm just talking to him like that, just sing, playing in between. You know, I'm telling you what, man, about halfway through, the Holy Ghost hit that couple right there. Because right about halfway through, I started singing in tongues softly, right in front of them. And it was all appropriate based on the atmosphere that had been created by the Holy Spirit. And so I just did it. But I'm about 2 feet from him because it's crammed. Everybody's crammed in there. He said, I didn't have this many people on Sunday morning. They came to see the Pentecostal. But I did it in a beautiful way. I just played my guitar and sang in the spirit, but not normal. I just sang in different languages and everything, just really, you know. And this gentleman started shaking like this. And he's a Baptist, started shaking, and he stood up. While I'm singing, with his eyes closed, he's a tall, lean gentleman, about 6'4", perfect suit, perfect, just English, all the way, perfectly shined shoes, perfect hair, perfect everything, perfect, 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 perfect. And he, when I'm singing, he starts speaking in tongues, like that. His wife is pulling on his sleeve, like that. Henry, John, whatever, Howard, whatever his name was, sit down, sit down. And he just grabs her, and she goes, then it starts spreading. Just starts spreading everywhere. I never got up from the chair. We're talking about something different. We're talking about Matthew 9:17, come into the church. What is that? You can't put new wine in an old wine skin. And that's the whole idea. And I'm going to tell you something. Pastor has not talked to me about anything. He did not talk to me about anything. So if you thought I was preaching to you this morning, I was. But not because I know anything. I was just flowing in the Holy Ghost. I didn't discuss what I was going to preach. Never have I in all these years ever discussed with anybody what I was going to preach. They, for whatever crazy reasons, trust me or God, that he won't let me do crazy things beyond repair. Amen? Let's clarify, beyond repair. But they got, the whole church starts speaking in tongues. And then I start calling people out from the chair and calling out their diseases or what problem they had or whatever. And everybody, you know, it's so different when someone who hasn't had experience in the power of God reacts compared to somebody who's got experience and either doesn't believe it or yawns at it because they've seen so much of it. I'd say, ma'am, I think you got a problem. Do you have a problem with your kidney? Ah! Did you see what he said? He said a kidney. They just start talking to each other while I'm talking and doing this, talking to each other. They don't know etiquette. They don't just stand there, oh, Father. They don't do the whole thing. They just, what? Did you tell him? Did you tell him? Who? Like that. And I'm just talking and flowing. And God is healing people, delivering people, setting people free. And I'm not explaining to them what's going on. They're just having too much fun. We did this every night, 13 nights. Different churches. The exact same thing. I've never done it since. I probably will never do it again. No, that man is no longer my friend. Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I excommunicated him. No. Just kidding. But that's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. Hebrews chapter 1. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. What? Upholding all things by the word of his power. Who's keeping you together? Who is keeping your marriage together? Who is keeping your business together? Who is keeping you from losing your mind in the middle of the night? Who is it that keeps you from falling apart and going totally crazy and following the devil and committing crimes and doing terrible things? What is it that is keeping you together? It is the fact that you still go to church, that you still believe in God, that you still listen to the Word of God, that it has power. God holds the entire universe together by the power of His Word. Right? He can hold you together by the power of His Word. He can hold your children together by the power. If you stick God's Word on a circumstance, that Word now becomes, falls under the authority of the Word of God. You got children out there, you label them with God's Word. You stick that Word right on them in prayer. Boom! Just glue it to them. So everywhere they go, they got Scripture all in the Spirit, tied. When the devil sees it, he'll see that. And then it's just a matter of time. Praise God. Don't just let them go off wandering around on their own. Stick what holds everything together, and that's the Word. Not the Logos, but the Rhema. Logos is just the Word read with a mind. Rhema is the revelation of the Word, the new wine. You cannot put new wine into an old wineskin. If some of you folks will allow me to talk to you in an honest way, not to hurt you, but in an honest way, it's possible that you can love God and still be an old wine skin. And you know what else is possible? It's possible that you're a new wine skin in some areas and an old wine skin in other areas. You're like half and half. You're like a half-breed wine skin. The right side of you is nice and new, and the left side of you is nice and old. This side cracks and that side flows with God. For example, I say to you, let's worship, but you've never done it before. Let's speak in tongues, but you've never done it before. Now you can do it because you've just got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now you're speaking in tongues. That's new wineskin. You're just speaking in tongues everywhere you go. You don't even talk normal anymore. You talk in tongues to people. And it's scaring folks. Over at the McDonald's. Hey, how's it going? Give me a shalabandala and give me a little bit of hala hala. Because you're just freaking out. You know, that's real new wineskin right there. You're scaring everybody. But then when somebody says, how about tithing? Ooh, that old piece, that old cracked up thing that can't receive and that just rejects that part of God takes over. And it starts cracking and the new wine, which would heal your finances and deliver you, leaks out. Right? So I'm not saying that you're like an old wineskin in all areas, or I'm an old wineskin in all areas. We're a new one. But what I'm saying is that the power of God doesn't fit into an old wineskin. If you want the power of God, then you've got to present something, a container for God to fit in inside you. That's new wine. What does that mean? It means you're willing to do whatever God tells you and take some action within the form of the order of God. But you're willing to do whatever God tells you. I know that godly men and women of God are always willing to do what God tells them. Praise the Lord. We were in a meeting and some fella was getting healed, and he had a cast on his leg. And Gavin started cutting the cast off the man's leg. See, just that. Because we can't fathom faith that has no doubt in it. And of course the man was healed. Of course everybody gets healed. And of course those things happen. Because it becomes the law of the Spirit to walk in the power of the Spirit. That's what we want. We want things to happen in church. We want things to happen in the Holy Ghost. But just like with Jesus, your perception of what God is capable of doing and what God will do limits the harvest you're going to reap. When Jesus goes to his own hometown, as you know, ladies and gentlemen, that he could not do a lot of miracles there. He could not do a lot of miracles there because they didn't believe he could do it, because they perceived him to be a carpenter and not a miracle worker. All they can get from a carpenter is a chair. The people that saw him as a miracle worker got raised from the dead, got their eyes open, their ears pop open, their children raised from the dead, leprosy left them, cripples walked, twisted arms got straight, short legs grew out, all kinds of supernatural stuff happened because they were not limited by their perception. So here's the question tonight. If you want the power of God in your life, then how and what is going to develop your new wineskin? That's you believing that God can change your life today and you can start making some changes. Praise the Lord. Right? You've got to start doing something different. You got to start doing something different. I don't know any other way to say it. You have got to do something different. Different is the best thing to get you moving again. It's the same with a relationship. If you want to improve something that's gotten old, you just start doing something different. You scare each other with different. Because creatures are creatures of habit. As I said, people are sitting in the same chairs for centuries. Right? It's natural. This is our chair. It's like you bought them. I bought this chair. So I'm going to sit in this chair. And if you were to sit in somebody else's chair, I'd like to see that happen. Try that the next, like tomorrow night. Like what the Delps did and several of you. You just decide, we'll sit somewhere else. You feel like visitors. Right, Betty? Aren't you like over here normally? You're normally over there, but you're over here. I even feel weird looking at you over there. It's like, hello, ma'am. Welcome to the church. And it's a little thing. You say, oh, what a little thing. Really? That's a little thing? It's not a little thing, especially if the whole service, you feel odd. Because something has to happen to take the church to where God wants it to go. New wine is coming. Can you all say it? Say it again. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, say it again. I'm promising you, I'm speaking to you prophetically right now. New wine is coming. New wine is coming. It's going to get really new. And remember that all things are judged by one thing, fruit. Don't lie to yourself about anything. The fruit determines the root. That simple. Praise God. If you're doing something right, the fruit you produce is good. If you're doing something wrong, the fruit you produce is bad. Not complicated, right? Praise the Lord. Okay, so, and then in Philippians 3, verse 10, doubtless, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Now, what are we talking about? The power. Look, notice the two words he puts together. Are you all here? Know and power. Know and power. What is the fruit of knowing God? Power. How do you know that you have an active relationship with God? Power. How do you know that you're not in an active relationship with God? Powerlessness. How do you know that? There it is. Doesn't mean you're not saved. Doesn't mean you're not going to heaven. It just means you don't have an active relationship. You probably have a religious arrangement. No power. So if you're in a knowing relationship with God, the fruit of that is going to be power in your life. Praise God. So what am I saying you should expect? Why don't you start expecting something different? Like when you go to the grocery store, and before you go to the grocery store, say, God, could you have me meet someone at the grocery store that I can pray for to get saved? Or that I could even pray for them between the spaghetti and the green beans. And the green beans. in the green bean to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. If you'll bring them to me, I'll pray for them right there, and they'll get baptized right there between the green beans and the spaghetti. Huh? How many of you would sacrifice your pride for the soul of another person? How many of you have enough love inside of you to do something that will might make you look stupid or may even draw some mockery, ridicule to you? Because I'll guarantee you this. Ask God to bring you the easy ones. Don't ask for, you know, like demon-possessed bikers. No, start with simple people, like little old ladies with like lots of grandchildren and things like that, dying and starving. Ask for those. The ones that are, if you offer them something, they'll fall on their face and start worshiping God. Start there. There's plenty of them. Don't say, oh, bring me a cannibal. Someone who is secretly eating people. Let me lead them to Jesus. That's vanity. That's pride. That's your ego. And a lot of our Christianity is ego-driven. That's why we fail so much. Because we have such big egos and so much vanity and conceit that we think, okay, God, I'm just going to step out there and walk on that water right now, literally. I'm just going to walk on that water by faith. I'm going to have faith right now. I'm just going to walk on that water. But that's not what the Holy Ghost is saying. What the Holy Ghost is saying is that you need to start right where you live. Change something, or you will freeze or crack or break when this new wine starts flowing through the church, and you will not be able to handle it. Say, Ivan, why are you talking like this? Can I tell you why? I've been in the ministry 40 years, and I go from church to church, and this is my calling. This is what I do, and I know what I'm telling you in the Spirit. And I'm telling you right now that it's going to get better than it's ever been, but you got to be able to be flexible with whatever God wants to do in the Spirit. And it's going to take power. Praise God. Give somebody a high five and say, power. Come on, say, wonder-working power. Praise God. How many of you ladies have ever just changed your hair color and thought you were born again? No, really, I'm serious. How many have ever had like real long hair and then it was like blonde and not really? I mean, you forgot your original hair color, but I mean, it's blonde at that point, long, and then you just come home and it's all cut off and it's maybe green brown or something. And everybody goes, wow, what happened to you? You're like a new person. You go, I know, I just feel different. Change is how you can measure an encounter with God. Change. Nothing else. Change. Don't be set in your ways. No one can walk with God who is set in their ways. You cannot do it. Because God doesn't operate like that. You cannot be set in your ways and expect God to move. Because we're not respecting God. We're controlling God. Yes. Praise the Lord. This is what's so dangerous about church, ladies and gentlemen. It is the number one place to create an atheist. And what is so great about church, if it's right, it's the number one place to create a true believer that not hell nor anything else can drive him away from God. But people go to church where Jesus is said to be and Bibles are read and all these terrible things are happening and all that. Atheists come out of that. Most every atheist I have ever met was made one by Christians in a church. And all the great men and women of God have been made great men and women of God in church. Praise the Lord. Where God got a hold of them and the Holy Ghost got a hold of them. And, you know, I thank God every day that when I got saved, I did not get saved to some kind of religious group or denomination are some terrible dead people, that I didn't just go from one graveyard to another graveyard and just switch graveyards. Thank God that when I got saved, I didn't go to church for a while. And I just watched God do all kinds of stuff. And then God started to slowly connect me to people who could help. Praise the Lord. So, do you want power? Do you want some power in your life? Anybody? Huh? Anybody want any power? You got to make some changes. You got children in the house. You got young children. You can't just be normal people in this world. Your children will get swallowed up. You can't. You can't be normal people. You can't just be nice. It's not going to be enough for your children. They need the Holy Ghost fire. They need a dad on fire, a mom on fire. They need the Holy Ghost. They need you taking them out. Let's go witness. Let's go on the mission field. Let's go on a mission trip. You want to mark them, take them on the mission field. Do this, do that. Say, oh, look at that person. Here's some money. Here's $100. Go give it to them. Watch your child give a stranger with children starving to death $100. Watch what it does to them when they watch that person weep and just cry. Or have your children with you when you kneel down with a total stranger, who you have just led to Jesus in a matter of 3 minutes, and your children or child has seen it and kneels down there with you, and you lead that person into eternity. Those children are not going to be normal. Those children are not going to want to go and take drugs. Those children are not going to want to do crazy stuff. There's no way. Jesus is too much fun. They watch an entire life change. They watch an entire family get healed. They watch all their ugliness leave them, their pain and suffering. My gosh, they said, this is the life I want. This is the way to be. Because you cannot sit still, ladies and gentlemen. You know that scripture in 2 Kings. Why sit we here until we die? That doesn't talk about leaving church. That talks about leaving your heart of death and stillness behind and pointing yourself to God again and saying to God the famous words, not my will, but your will be done. Lord, whatever you want me to do, I will do it. What is the hardest thing for you to do? I'll tell you what it is for some of you men, is to go ask forgiveness from somebody who has done more harm to you than you have to them. But I'm going to tell you right now, that's exactly what God is going to require. The same with some of you ladies. God's going to require you to give something to someone who has talked bad about you for a long time. He's going to ask you to give something precious to them that you have. That's how God is. God did it with his son for the people that hated him. There's the perfect law of love right there. And if you become that kind of church, the preaching, the ministry, if you become those kind of people where you're doing those kind of things that are so unnatural, they're not eye for an eye driven, they're of God, they're of the Spirit of God. If you're really those kind of people, you're going to change this city. You're going to change your house. Your wife will change. Your husband will change. Everybody will change when they start saying, you did what? You cleaned the house? The whole house. You didn't watch TV for 9 hours today while I was gone? You actually cleaned up the entire house? I've been married to you for 30 years. I have never seen you do any. What is getting into you? Are you on some kind of drug? Yeah, I am. I'm tired of being selfish. I want to be God's man. I want to be God's woman. I want to serve God. I want the power of God to be seen by these children, to be seen by my wife or husband or my friends or people. I don't want to be ruled by the flesh. I don't want to be dominated by my impulses and my urges anymore. I don't want to be a slave all of my life to everything other than God. Is that anybody, any of you like that tonight? Are any of you like that? You just say, dear Lord. Because you know what it's like at your house. Your children know it better than you do. They know it. And it's not, you know, a matter of getting condemned or or being accused. It's not like that. It's a matter of the word, you know, touching our lives and healing us. That's why we came to church. Isn't that right? That's why we're here. It's not like me saying, oh, you're such bad people, you need help. No. It's like you're good people and God is answering your prayers for help. How about looking at it that way? Instead of looking at it from the negative point. Bad people, got to change. Then you're just full of pride. Because you don't understand how this whole thing works. This, everything here, this works on change. To get better, we change. To improve, we change. To go higher, we change. For life to get better, we change. There's no improvement without change. So it's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. Praise the Lord. So God will speak to you tonight. Jesus will speak to you tonight. He's already speaking to some of you, I know he is. But he's going to speak to you and he'll say, you've got some areas of your life where you're stuck. You are stuck in the mud. And the power of God. Have you ever been stuck in the mud with a vehicle? That's not four-wheel drive? No. I was stuck in the snow with a vehicle that was four-wheel drive, but I didn't know how to engage it into four-wheel drive. Have you ever been in that? I just bought the car. I had just bought a truck. This was years ago. I bought a brand new Ford XL Power Stroke 250 diesel truck. Brand new, gold, four-wheel drive, Colorado. And I'm up in the mountains, but I'm slipping everywhere. I'm going, really? This is what four-wheel drive does? Because I thought it was in four-wheel drive, but the wheels hadn't been locked. Well, I didn't know you did that. They forgot to tell me. And I was too stupid to know. So I got stuck, you know, on the side of the thing. They said I could get out of anything. What's going on? They said, I'm taking this truck back. This is a bunch of... Other cars are passing by. What are they? So some old mountain guide comes up, you know. Is he all right, mister? I said, well, I just bought this truck. I mean, he wasn't a Christian. He didn't know me, so I just let it loose, you know. Yeah, these stupid people. I just bought this truck. Says four-wheel drive. Supposed to get out of this thing. Something wrong with it. Won't get out of there. He said, have you locked in those tires? I said, what? Locked in the tires. He got out when he saw the look on my face, and he just walked over there. Ch-ch-ch-ch. Try it now. I mean, I was riding up in the hills, going into places on purpose, diving in, you know. But boy, did I feel stupid. But ladies and gentlemen, don't make the mistake of protecting your pride. Because the only person you're protecting yourself from is God. Praise the Lord. Could I suggest you start by bringing a Bible to church? Would that be a stretch for anyone? You can even have it in the laser fashion. You can even have, you know, and fake people out so that they won't get offended and they'll think it's an actual book Bible, when in reality... Right? I do that to protect the innocent from their religion. Where's your Bibles? Bring your Bibles. Open your Bibles. Read your Bibles. Write in your Bibles. Find a Bible that speaks your language. Don't be religious about the translation. Only this one. This is the only one. That's ridiculous. Do you speak in King James? Is that how you go around? Well, how art thou? Do you? Is that how you speak? Then it's not going to minister to you unless you grew up in it for years. And you're used to it. Then that's different. I did. That's how I was grew up. It always speaks to me better. But not everybody's that way. Your children certainly aren't like that. They need to get something that really touches them and speaks their language. And when they read it, it lights up everything. Praise the Lord. Because we're talking about you walking in some power and making some changes. We're talking about the Holy Ghost, new wine flowing in the church. We're talking about the Spirit of God. We're talking about God trying to take this church somewhere that you've prayed for it to go. Sometimes we don't even know that the very things that are happening are the actual result of our prayers, but it wasn't what we really wanted God to do. We just decide, well, God, we wanted you to do what we wanted you to do, not this. Like you're smarter than God. And you're telling God what your prayers should look like when he answers them. I mean, we want a revival, but not like that. I'm going somewhere else. See what I mean? We're even biased towards God. You say, God, you can answer my prayers, but this is how you have to answer them. It just sounds silly saying it, doesn't it? But it's exactly how it is. Well, let me run through these real quick and give you these. The types of power you can start expecting to happen over the next 3.5 years. Mark 16:15, which is the power to perform miracles. Praise the Lord. I don't have time to go into these. I'm just going to give them to you. How many of you want that spread all over the church? The physical power to perform miracles, the mental power to perform miracles, and the moral power to perform miracles, because it takes all three. Mark 16:15. Then the power to establish God's authority in the regions where you live. Found in Job 11:24 and Exodus 3:20, Deuteronomy 9:1, and many, many other places. How many of you want God to be the king of your home? Let me see. Who's honest tonight? How many of you can be honest? Have you ever had the devil visit your house? Let me see. Huh? How many of you know what I'm saying? You're just standing there and the devil just showed up. I mean, he's in your wife, or he's in your sister, or cousin, or uncle, or you, or some other form, and you're freaking out. But the devil just showed up. Praise the Lord. And people even keep the devil in certain rooms, because they don't want the children to see or hear. But it doesn't matter. The anointing seeps through the walls. That's why we live the same as in the light and in the dark. There's not a division. Praise God. Then there's Mark 4:20 and Hebrews 2:14, the power to produce unreasonable harvests in dead fields. Would you give somebody a high five right now? How many of you have a business? What if God gave you power to produce a harvest even when you haven't sown any seeds? Let me tell you how this happened. I prayed for a pastor, and a long story short, someone gave him 150 acres of land paid for with an entire church building paid for, totally out of debt, paid for. Not one. And then they gave him two more buildings, other people. Now he's got 6 churches or 5 churches, all paid for, and they were all given. The power to produce supernatural harvests in dead fields. Praise God. He did nothing except believe God, and God put it in his hand. Now, most of the things we get are going to be the fruit of obedience and working for God and obeying God and doing all that. But wouldn't it be great to have a whole list of things you had nothing to do with? You didn't even have to obey. God just, bam, gave it to you. What if God gives the church like 3 buildings in town, or here somewhere in Pennsylvania? Someone calls up Pastor Steve, says, Pastor Steve, I'd like to give you an entire church. We got 40 acres here in Harrisburg, and the building's paid off. It's worth about $9 million, and God spoke to me in a dream and told me to give it to you. I'm getting out. I'll just give it to you. What do you think Pastor Steve would do? Just sit there and say, well, you know, something kind of nice happened. And then forget what to tell you? No, he'd be running all over town. He would be seen running around the town, running all over in his PJs. People would say, what happened to Pastor Steve? He lost his mind. He's running around town in his PJs. No, somebody just gave him, you know, $25 million worth of property and land, paid for free. Huh? Praise the Lord. Well, maybe this is too good, but it is what it is. Praise God. The power to have dominion over the devil's influence. Luke 10:19. More. The power to gain and hold on to resources. Deuteronomy 8:18. The power to maintain fruitful seasons and favorable circumstances in the midst of drought. Huh? The power to preach with supernatural results. The power to transfer power to other people. Praise the Lord. Okay, are you still here? Okay, the power to stretch vigorously. Peter gets out of the boat, stretch vigorously. The power to win impossible battles. The power to be a hero to those that have lost their confidence in God. That's powerful. The power to become qualified and competent in areas of chronic failure. These are all the powers that are available to me and you as Christians. Praise the Lord. The power to dominate personal sin and inherited iniquities. How many of you ever look in the mirror and see your mother? Hmm? Have you ever had anybody say, boy, you're sure acting like your mom. She was crazy. Now you're acting crazy. I know people that act just like their parents because it's a passed down iniquity. And it needs to be broken. Praise God. Give someone a high five and say it needs to be broken. All right. The power to maintain supernatural strength. And then finally, the power to journey well in your life. Glory to God. Turn on the music. So, these are important things. These are important things tonight.